Blog Talk Radio.
With Merle, and I'm your host, Merle Exit. Yes, it's been a nice day today, cloudy, but temperature went up a bit, it's not freezing, what is it? Well, it's 5:30 p.m. on my time here. They had changed the clocks, and now we think we lost an hour of sleep. No wonder I'm feeling so tired. I went to Fairway Market today in Red Hook, and I'll tell you about that a little later. And today, so what do we have on our show? Well, we're going to go back to Providence, Rhode Island, but also, let's see. Well, we're going back there for two reasons. We're going to have Chef David Johnson of a restaurant called Local. I wrote 1212. Local 121. I have to change that. Local 121. So to talk about farm to table, and then Chris and Phyllis, the owners of a restaurant called Blaze, they're going to chat with us about gay pride in Providence, as well as what's on the menu. We're actually going to have, well, Melba Moore is going to be performing out in Huntington, Long Island, at high school, and like we'll find out what this is all about. But of course, you know that we have to have a word from our sponsor. Well, one of them, you know, this one, the one that's going
to... What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale.
Yeah, and you can get these absolutely delicious tasting brownies by going to www.thebrownies.com. Yes, they even have ones that are enrobed with chocolate. They got blondies. They got cookies. And I saw only going to just, you know, that's only just going to make me, oh, look who's come into the room. Hey. Here for the show. So, well, we're going to start our show now. And I think we got our first guest. Do we got our first guest on the air? Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Good afternoon. This is Mike at Vendor Ravioli in Providence.
You're kidding me.
Well, yes, I won't be kidding you. I won't call to kid with you.
You know, this is really fun. I've been trying to get you, and no one said that you were calling in.
I have a message here to make sure I call the 5:30 tonight.
That
was forwarded to me from a wonderful friend, Mr. Damo.
That's so funny. Oh.
I thought you were aware and expecting my call, but I hope it's a pleasant surprise.
Oh, it is. It is a pleasant surprise. Somebody else. Wait, let me see who's gonna let me see who the other person is, and then because I'll have the hey.
Hello. Me too. I can always call you at a later time.
No, wait a second. Do I have Luann?
You do. I am on with you. How are you today?
Okay, can you hang on a minute?
I sure can.
Okay, hang on a second. Okay. How about, let me see. I guess, can you call me back at 5:30? 7 o'clock? Is that
this evening?
Yeah, tonight.
Unfortunately, I won't be able to do that because I'm taking my wife to a doctor.
Okay, I'll tell you what. All right.
How about if I call you tomorrow night?
No. Let me,
okay.
Because I've been dying to speak with you. Hang on a second.
I will do whatever, as much as I can for you.
Okay, hang on a second, okay?
Thank you.
Hey, do you mind? I got somebody that called in now that can't call in later. Do you want to hang and listen?
I hang and listen. And because I've got a training event I need to do tonight, so I can't call later. But I'll hang and listen as long as I can.
Okay. And I'll see if I can. I'll try to squeeze you into that, into this half-hour segment or a little later, okay? Because
okay.
I knew I want to get to you, okay? All right. I'm sorry about this. I've been
no
trying
problem.
To get somebody for, like, for weeks.
And I apologize to your guest, John, as well.
All right, hang in there. Okay, Michael.
Yes.
So we got to talk because, all right, here's the story. What the discussion I want to talk to you is about authentic Italian food. Now,
yes.
We already got, I've been, you know, writing all about the Nutella.
Correct.
And the fact that, you know, that the first sign of the not good Nutella is which if it's in a plastic jar.
Usually, yes. Yes, that's definitely correct.
Okay. Now, some of the products, I want to talk about some things. Like, for instance, the olive oil. Now,
okay.
I noticed one of the things about the olive oil you sent me. I got to tell you, when I tasted this olive oil and I looked at this, I said, I can't cook with this. I have to have this on things. You know, there's olive oil to cook with.
Yes.
And then there's olive oil for just putting it on, like, when I made the pasta, when I made the ravioli. As I made the ravioli, that's what I would do. I would just, like, put it down, put a little salt on it, and the olive oil. That's
finish
it.
Finish it with the olive oil.
Huh?
Most people
yes.
don't realize olive oil, a nice estate extra virgin olive oil, is fantastic over finished product, being vegetables. A cooked
yes.
pizza, grilled pizza, a steak, a pork chop, even something grilled. As it's resting, a little bit of olive oil over the top. You know, America, they drizzle things with ketchup and all kinds of barbecue sauces. Let me tell you, my household, we drizzle olive oil over the top, maybe a dash of sea salt, and heaven's open.
Yeah. So now, what I want to ask you is, I ask you in terms of the olive oil. Why does it? And I have to use. If you want to say it burns the back of the mouth.
Yep.
What's
well,
that about?
Well, that there is different regions of Italy. Some will be a little more pungent when you say burn. I what I call is pungent. It's
peppery,
got a
yeah.
Peppery aftertaste. Usually olive oil is from the Tuscany region, and I'll use that as somewhat north, even though it's not extremely north of Italy. They tend to be a little buttery, a little fruity, maybe an artichoke flavor. They tend to be delightful. They're great olive oils. As you start moving down towards Apulia, Calabria, they start usually getting a little more pungent in flavor, stronger with that peppery bite on the back of your throat getting more and more intense. Sicilian olive oil is said to be even stronger than that. So one thing that happens here is most people come in and say, what's the best olive oil? What I try to do is find their, if they grew up on it, their region, where their families are from. For me, the best olive oil is from Puglia, because when I cook with a Puglia olive oil or taste the Puglia olive oil, the smells, the taste, brings me back to mom and grandma in the kitchen. And there's nothing more tasteful than that. And it's just a matter of preference, and it's something that should be passed on, like the Italian families, through generations.
Okay. Now, what about, and also, you should always look for a harvest date. Is that true?
You should look for a harvest date. That tells you when it was made. All Italian olive oils are harvested during the months anywhere between September and December, depending on the climates of their particular region. And they're usually brought into our country usually by February, sometimes into March or April, the new harvest would be brought into America. And it's a really, really special time because you get their fresh, their fresh harvest. It really changes from year to year depending on what happened with their climates in Italy and in their particular region. So it's really an exciting time for me when they start coming in with their new harvest because we get to try something new that, it's been a year since we've tried. It's really, really a great time.
Now, let me ask you about the balsamic vinegar that I got. Modena?
They're all from Modena, with the exception of
Modena,
one
okay.
that I get from Reggio Emilia, but I didn't send you that one. The one you got is all from Modena, yes.
Now,
Modena.
Does that necessarily mean that it's a... How aged is it? Is it,
I'm not sure which one Alan picked and sent to you because I wasn't there for the balsamics.
Okay.
But they usually anywhere from the younger ones, which are very acidic, they're great for marinades. So if you taste the balsamic vinegar, it's kind of sharp and acidic tasting. It's usually an immature olive oil, usually harvested or bottled, I should say, really quick. The aged one, like a Villa Mondadori, there's a great company called Giuseppe Giusti, which is... I believe the 11th generation of balsamic vinegar, the same family. They go back to the early 1600s, and they're in the same building. The Italian government actually asked them to help write the laws that govern balsamic vinegar in Italy. And they sit on the consortium, and they're a great olive oil company, balsamic company. Anybody that sees that should consider the Giuseppe Giusti as top of the line. But there are many, many others as well. Villa Mondadori, which is brought out from the Medici kitchen. They do a great job with that. That's one of our best sellers. And then from commercial, you go into traditional balsamics, which is a whole different other animal. Traditional balsamics are they're aged for at least 25 or 12 years. They have to be kept in a series of barrels and have to be logged. And that actually, at the end of those years, go to a consortium, and they have to be tested chemically and tasted in order to get the traditional label. And those usually sell from $100 to $300 per bottle, 4-ounce bottle. Those are extremely expensive. But those are really nice, a couple of drops of some Reggiano Parmesan cheese, some strawberries, vanilla gelato. It's anybody who's tried it falls in love with it.
So it tastes does it taste kind of like a grape, like a sweet grape kind of
it's
thing?
It's an extremely sweet, but delicate grape, a balsamic. You definitely know it's a balsamic, but it's so thick and syrupy. It's really hard to explain. If you could ever try the balsamic glaze, which is a totally different animal, they are that consistency. The longer they age, the thicker
right.
they get because the actual water, the HCO, kind of evaporates from the barrel. So they get more and more intense in flavor, much sweeter in flavor as the years go by. So the taste is, if anybody goes to an authentic Italian store and asks if they have any traditional balsamic, most of them will have a bottle open that somebody can taste. And they usually fall in love with it.
Now, let's talk about, in terms of products, like if you just go into if I go into a store that sells Italian products, does that mean it's from Italy?
Not necessarily. I always suggest to people, if they're not here or somebody from out of town that's visiting Providence, definitely check the labels. There are many, many Italian names on packages. that are from all over the world, including Spain is the largest distributor, the largest country to make olive oil than any other country. Italy's number two. But there are Greek companies that relabel things. There are companies from all over the world that literally put their Italian name on a label to kind of to try to camouflage it to the customer. They're not authentic from Italy, but they're kind of similar or maybe have some, some authentic, their family name came from Italy and they're using the family name. Let's say it that way.
Well, and how about in terms of like all the products? I understand there's a particular tomato?
Well, the tomatoes from Italy, the sweetest is the San Manzano tomato, which is there. That comes from a particular area of Italy where, if I read right, and I haven't read about them in quite a few years, I believe it all goes back to centuries ago, volcanic ash treating the soils. But this San Manzano pear-shaped tomato, they say, is the finest in all the world. And you can find that in, again, most authentic Italian grocery stores. You should look for the San Manzano label. And go one step further, there is the DOP, which tells you it's definitely from the origin, had it been stamped by the consortium in the San Manzano region to have that label. That's the best of the best.
Oh, okay. Now, let me just ask you about one of the big things at your place is the ravioli. You know what? I got to ask you a question. I mean, because I didn't get anything like with meat or fish. I got one that has chicken in it, and the thing that went into my head is, when you make ravioli, let's say where the chicken is in there, are you using cooked chicken?
Yes.
You're using cooked chicken.
Yes, we use white diced chicken meat in that particular ravioli.
Okay.
The meat ravioli is a little bit different. That's a cooked ground meat with some prosciutto and mortadella mixed in. That I apologize, we didn't ship to you, but that's made out of a manufacturing plant. Any meat items have to be made out of a manufacturing plant because there's USDA inspectors involved in anything produced with meat. So that's a little bit of a different animal compared to what we're making up here, which are the jumbos, which I don't know if we sent you. I think we weren't making the arugula yet. That's more of a seasonal one. But any of the vegetable, the seafood, we make across the street from our present store right here.
Which I'll have to go visit the next time I go back up there.
And also, we'd like to take you to the manufacturing plant where they make the meat product. That's 30,000 square feet of machines making
really?
Stuff else, tortellinis, manicottis, I still call them manicottis. Manicottis. it's literally, there's dough being made. The semolina flour being made into dough that's being brought throughout the store. They're mixing anywhere from 500 to 3,000 pounds of ricotta at a time that's being brought throughout the plant. Extruders making fusilli, penne, rigatoni, ditalini. It's a symphony of pasta. It's incredible. On our website, there's a small video, which is vendoravioli.com. There is a video that you can your guests can click on to see a little bit of the manufacturing we do on our manufacturing plant.
What's your website?
It is vendoravioli.com, VendaRavioli.com.
Okay. I'm going to the other questions because I got it.
Sure.
I'm writing up. I'm going to write. I got an article to write.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to email you any of the other questions that I need for the article. Okay.
That'll be fine.
Okay, that's great. And I'll also talk to you about like maybe some other things that I could try that we can. By the way, ravioli is fabulous.
Well, thank you very much.
Oh yeah, the ravioli is great. That's absolutely superb.
Vendor's 70 years old. The present owner, Alan Constantino, bought it 40 years ago, and literally there were two machines or three machines when he bought it. Now it's like I said, 30,000 square feet, almost 40,000 square feet of manufacturing. We got three restaurants, the store, a bakery. Thank God, everything's been well for us.
Okay.
Good thing a lot of people like Italian food. That's all I know.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I want to thank you very much.
Thank you. I'll email you with any of the other questions that I need for my article for Giornale Italo Americano.
Okay, and please, to you and your guests, have Bonaclatsko. Have a great, great, happy, and healthy Easter.
Yes, you too. Bye bye.
Bye
bye. I'm getting hungry. Milan, did it make you hungry?
Hey, listen, it's, my mouth is watering.
Telling you. I didn't expect, you know, it's funny because I've been emailing, can you get this kind of phone? Can you get this kind of phone? Because I was up in Providence, Rhode Island, and this was one of the places I went to because there's an entire, it's an area up in Providence called Federal Hill, and it's all like Italian. So I love to go to places like that to see, to get, you know, the authentic food. Anytime I eat, you know, food, authentic food, you know, I want it. I want, don't give me, it's like, you know, with Chinese food, don't Americanize it for me. I don't want it.
Right.
You know?
That's right. You can do that yourself, right?
Yeah, but anyway.
Make it authentic.
So, tell me about, you know, how did this thing come up with Melba Moore?
The needs of the children. Huntington Station is in a great area, of course, with the township of Huntington. And what we found was when violence started out in Huntington again, the Huntington Station Now group was organized with the great insight of Dee Thompson at the Children's Enrichment Center, the supervisor, Frank Patron, and the council as a whole just took great interest in bringing all walks of people together and professionals together to address it, to say, not in our town. We do not want violence breaking out in our town, violence breaking out upon our children. So we all began to kind of study together what does it take to counter what was developing. And we noticed that that area is underdeveloped more than any other area in the township of Huntington right now with activities for children. So it could, you know, cause them to lean towards gangs or whatever. Most times people go towards gangs when there's a need to belong. So we want to give our kids the reason and the need to know that they have a place to belong right here in Huntington. And that Huntington Station, like every other area in our township, is the children are valued. So that's where we are, and we want to help in all the ways that we can to raise money for it. The other aspect that took place was my members of my church hearing of the needs there and that we were reaching out to do things in the community. Our United Methodist men, in studying David and Jonathan and how those men helped each other out to help the people of Israel, decided, well, we want to just do good. We want to go out and do good. What can we join the town in? And just doing random acts of kindness. And when we saw this with the kids, again, it said, wow, what about something that could bring all of the people together? We get to know each other. We get to have fun with each other. We get to enjoy one another. And at the same time, doing something to help the children. And then there's Melba Moore. And Melba Moore came to us by way of a friend that I reached out to in the entertainment industry. And at the time, he was going to do a show on a ship. And he said, you know, Melba just did a show for me. She's back out there again. She's not far from you. She has interest in children. Reach out to her, see if she would come. And immediately her manager talked to her, and she said, oh, yes, for the children, I will come to Huntington. So we're glad to have her coming. We're glad that the people are responding. We hope everybody will respond to see this icon of a legend that has been singing, performing on Broadway, Tony Award winner, Grammy nominee, and just a strong compassion for the well-being of children. So we hope people will come out and let's enjoy each other, get to know each other, and then contribute as we can to children's projects here in Huntington.
Oh, that's great. So we're going to hear a lot of her, huh?
Yes. Yes, indeed. And we hope that you'll be there, of course.
You know, I normally wouldn't schlep this far. The thing is, it's like, what actually this goes back. This is a back in the 1970s, I was in this performing group, and they were all, I guess, they were, everybody had to sing. I'm a comedian, but I sing too. So in this group, we had this piano player, and the piano player was her brother, Dennis Mormon. And, but that didn't mean as much to me as when I saw her perform, and for the life of me, I thought it was Pearly that I saw, but it wasn't Pearly. It was this play that bombed.
Whoa.
Called Innocent Black.
Whoa.
It went for 14 performances, and I was so upset.
Oh.
Because she sang in it, and I was like hooting and hollering in the audience when she was holding the notes at the end.
I hear that.
You know? So I went, aw. You know, this was such a good show. So I hadn't seen her or heard her since then. So, this, I didn't even know how this all even came up, but I said, got to get her on my show. Got to see her perform.
Wonderful. I'm so glad that you reached out to her that way and that she is coming to perform and that you will be there. I didn't know you were a comedian. I need to be putting you on stage.
That's been my thing for years. That's all my brain will not stop to thinking of comedy. I mean, it's like all today. You heard this whole thing about with the mayor here with the soft drinks.
Yes, isn't that something? Wow.
I just pictured people on the border of Queens and Nassau County. Like people taking rides over the border just so it can have
soda.
their fill of soda.
You know it.
Bringing it back home.
Hey, case is loaded. You know?
Oh, come on. We could. Yeah, the thing. Look at this. Oh, wow. We live in Douglaston. That's like right close to the border. Come on, let's go. Let's make a run for it. Let's get over there and get that.
You know that. And we can have soda parties. And more than ever, go back to that old age time, you know, when you had the bootleg liquor. Yes. That was quite funny. I mean,
of course,
really.
Because I'm also picked, and I know I go. You go to, there's one of the movie theaters that I go to, where you buy the soda and you can keep getting refills. So what's to stop you?
Oh man, yeah,
just keep refilling it every 5 minutes.
So
you know?
Yeah. You can't get a refill here. Outlaw.
People will go just to do that and be. Just to do that and not even care about what movie they're singing.
No. Yeah,
they'll pay, go to an early show for $6. Buy the soda and just keep going back and forth for refills. Just because they're getting the sugar shock of not being able to have it in New York City.
Serious, yes indeed. But see, you're making me think of the follow-up to Melba being here. We just put together another show, waste some more money for the kids, you know, and who knows, Melba may continue to come back to us annually, whatever, till we get all of this raised. We have, it's just a good thing that she's partnered with us to help the children this way, to bring excitement back again to us and the community to doing things together. It's an exciting time for us.
I don't suppose you're going to have food there, are you?
Will we have what?
Food.
Oh, goodness gracious.
I need my fill of soul food.
Well, I was getting ready to tell you, what I need to have there is not the food, but, you know, if the mayor is immediate, as he said he is, encountering this decision today, we may need to have soda for real. Yeah, it's going to be a time. Yeah,
that's great. You sold a lot of tickets?
We have been selling tickets. We want to sell more because, you know, we can never do enough for the children. Let me tell you what the goal really is. We have got to do all that we can to try to raise $400,000 for all that's needed with the Children's Project in Huntington Station. Now, that sounds like a lot, but that's not enough. Thankfully, the town itself has about $400,000 already set aside for it. So we're just trying to help finish from the grassroots level what is necessary. So, you know, everybody coming out and doing what they can will be very helpful. And we will try to see how many vendors are willing to come in with us to try to help out as well.
So that would be great. But so I guess somebody will be pick me up at the station, huh?
Hey, come on, whatever you need, you know what I'm saying?
So when you say, by the way, when they say Huntington Station, are they talking about the area that surrounds the train station?
That's right. Yeah, you're right dead on it. Remember, urban renewal that took place back in the late 60s, early 70s there, it never got completed for the station. And along that area, of course, that was before I came into the area, but along that area used to be businesses and things of that nature, and renovation was supposed to be taking place to complete it. Never got done. But Jones Circle and the town council, Supervisor Patron, they're working diligently, and they've brought in the faith community, the education community, other civil organizations. All of us are working together, you know, meeting monthly, talking, and seeing what we can do together to make sure that development takes place. A lot of historians that have written about it in the past, they're all excited about it because we see this vision, we see it happening, and economic development is on the scale for the adults, and projects for children are on the scale from the grassroots with us helping out, too.
Okay. That's that's great. I got it. I'm really looking forward.
Oh, I am glad that you're coming. We're looking forward to it. We're at the church this week, dedicating our time to it. Tomorrow, I'm going to hit it early in the morning and be with it until Saturday. You know, it's clearing up some things and needed to do otherwise today. But we've got entertainment on our mind. We've got Melvin Moore supporting our children on our mind. And our children are always on our minds and our hearts, and our souls are doing all that we can now to make sure this goes well.
That's great. All right. Well, I'll see you Saturday then, huh?
Well, see me Saturday, but then remember, you're bringing your show plan for the follow-up.
You better look it up to see what I do.
Listen, let me tell you, what this used to be, This was slated to be a diva, a comedian, and Broadway. But the comedian, my friend that I was telling you about, that had to go on the ship, so we just had a diva and Broadway. But I do have a comedian that's going to step in now, just last minute. She's stepping in to help us out with it. But now, see, my setup for this is, can't you see the next show? Comedians, and we bring you right in. There you go, Miss Exit coming in to bring the show out. Now, I am being told right now that I haven't said to you, tickets. Individuals can call in to 631-427-0326, 631-427-0326. Ask for my wife, Marie, and we'll make sure they get all of the tickets that they need. $20 before, get to the door, $30 at the door. Yet and still, what we need to remember is that 100% what's given is going towards the children's project. So individuals can give more, of course, and we hope that they will. We're going to continue everything that we can do. And you know what else can happen? It's just like you're doing now, to have us talk on this show together. When you're doing your comic shows, and I do hope that you'll put together a show for us, just let us know when you want to do it and have something going towards the Children's Project, and we'll be right in there with you.
Okay, you got it.
All right.
Have a wonderful evening.
You too. And
thanks.
Listen,
yeah.
I love that food. You got my mouth just dripping right now. Thank you so much, and God bless
You're
you
welcome.
Always. All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, yeah. Going to see Melba Moore. Well, all right. As if I didn't talk about food enough. Okay, let's talk about more food, because now we're going to talk about what is it when we when a restaurant lists farm to table. And now we have David. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How you doing, Merle?
Oh, just great. So explain what farm to table means.
Farm to table has become a very popular term in the past couple of years in the food industry. Farm to table is kind of just bringing food back, let's say to the past, back to the day when, you know, you were buying food from, you know, Your mother was buying beef from the butcher, or you were going to the farm stand to purchase vegetables, to purchase corn and tomatoes, and you were eating seasonally. Basically, eating farm to table is, you know, knowing where your food comes from. It's, you know, recognizing these local distributors, these local people that live in and work in your community, and they work really hard to offer a product, whether it's bread or cheese or an apple, to the table, to your plate, you know. And at Local 121 In downtown Providence, that's what we pride ourselves in, is offering these food products, these artisanal products, this produce, this meat, to our customers. You know, we've been there for about 5 years now, and we're really trying to, you know, put out these different farm names and making people aware of, you know, where their food comes from. You know, their food doesn't come from, you know, 1,000 miles away. It shouldn't come from 1,000 miles away, at least.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, give me an idea, like, hey, you give them some publicity. Where, like, name these, you want to name them? Name places where you're getting stuff.
Name
from?
Some of these farms that we work with.
Yeah, case people. And are these places that, let's say, if I was out there, went there, can I visit these places just to see what the...
Yeah, these places, a majority of these places you can call up, they either have farm stands or they're at farmers markets, or even if you showed up at their farm, they're hardworking people, but they're friendly, and they would take a moment to kind of share with you what they're doing and what their experience is. Some of the places that we work with at Local 121 and that we've worked with over the past couple of years, to start with, would be produce places, would be, you know, Arcadian Fields is a place that comes to mind. They're located down in Hope Valley in Rhode Island. They grow some of the most beautiful tomatoes and greens that you've ever seen. And she sells at the farmer's market in Providence, Rhode Island, on Hope Street, during the summertime, during the late spring and the summer. Other places would be, you know, City Farm. City Farm is part of a co-op called Little City Growers, and there's a few farms with them. They're located right in Providence, and it's kind of hard to believe that, you know, there's a farm out there that's growing like a quarter of an acre to a half an acre and supplying restaurants and their community with wholesome food. Some of the other places would be Buffoni Chicken Farm. You know, they have great chicken. We use a lot of their eggs at the restaurant, all natural eggs. And then there's a lot of fishermen that we work with. There's a Brown family out of Point Judith, Narragansett, Rhode Island, you know, down by the ocean. And, you know, we call them once or twice a week, and they supply us with, you know, some of the freshest fish that I've ever seen. So it's not only produce and it's not only poultry and meat, but it's also you know, working with fishermen as well and bakers, you know.
Right. But by the way, have you this whole craze with this coffee milk? Are you into it also?
I'm sorry. What was that?
The craze with the coffee milk.
Yeah, well, you know, it's Rhode Island. It's kind of been a staple in Rhode Island for a while. I actually grew up. My mom and dad both worked at a company that made coffee milk. So it's this company called Autocrat. I know you're probably familiar with Dave's coffee milk, and then I think
I got this stuff.
Yeah, it's good stuff. It's good stuff. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a part of Rhode Island culture, you know, coffee.
As a chef, have you ever cooked with that? Like, you know, I'm trying to come up with stuff like with the coffee syrup, other than like putting it in, you know, putting milk or something like that. Have you ever come up with stuff that you use cook food and use coffee in it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, meat and various game dishes pair well with coffee. You know, you wouldn't want to use coffee syrup because there's a lot of corn syrup and various extracts in it. It's a very sweet product, you know. But coffee, you know, straightforward. You know, coffee and spices. They work well with deep flavored meat and braises, and you know, yeah, it's something that we've worked with in the past.
I was curious because I also wanted those also wondering things about like cooking with tea
with tea.
Yeah,
tea has become it's been very popular. Both in savory and dessert aspects, you know, at the restaurant we've done flavored tea ice creams, and you know it's very popular, and it kind of creates a very interesting flavor. Is smoking with tea, you know, smoking seafood specifically, you know, like jasmine tea. It's very popular. Elements of cooking.
Oh, okay. So now let's get to your menu. Tell me about your menu. What, like your signature dishes?
Our signature dishes. So we actually just recently changed the menu. One of the things that we pride ourselves in is we work with this guy. His name is Pat Beck. And he's from New England Grass-Fed, and he carries some of the greatest grass-fed beef. It's not always completely grass-fed. It's, you know, it's like 10%. It will be finished with like a corn silage, you know. But our burger, the beef that we get from him is, the burger is absolutely amazing, you know. Every day we do a different catch of the day. We bring in different seafood, whether it's summer flounder or monkfish, all this seafood that you can find off the coast of Rhode Island and all the way up through Mass up into Maine. Some of our other signature dishes, you know, we always have a scallop, Bomster scallop. There's this family down in Stonington, Connecticut. They get the most amazing scallops that you've ever tasted. They're really sweet, perfect size. They sear up beautifully. Right now we're offering them on the menu with potato fondue and preserved lemon and house-made pancetta and a little black garlic sauce and pea tendrils. So it's you know, a lot of these dishes that we do, it's a matter of finding these local proteins or these local produce to highlight and just kind of, you know, do it as simple as we possibly can.
Tell us yeah. about, oh, I had, wait, did I think I had the rabbit ragu? Ragu rabbit?
The rabbit ragu. So
that was
the
so
gentleman,
good.
Thank you. The gentleman that I was talking about earlier, Pat Beck, as well as raising cattle, you know, he'll bring in yearlings from upstate New York and Pennsylvania, and he'll raise these cattle throughout Rhode Island. He also raises and breeds rabbit. So those rabbits are from him, you know, very simply. You know, all we do is just braise them very simple in Mirepoix with carrots and onions and celery and a little bit of tomato and red wine. And we braise them for a little bit over an hour, and we just pick the meat apart and serve it over very creamy polenta and finish it off with an Atwell's Gold. This is a local cheese company, Narragansett Creamery. They make a Italian-style cheddar that we finished the dish off with.
That was very good.
Thank you.
As a matter of fact, I liked it. Well, it's a little different. I've had rabbit, but I think I had it, and I have to say the way, like as if you made coq au vin, but with
okay.
rabbit.
Yeah.
So, I wouldn't know that I was eating rabbit the way you made it, because there's no distinctive bones.
Okay. All right. So when you had the coq au vin, you had the whole legs and
And it was really funny because I thought it was chicken, and we're sitting around with a group of people, the thing is, I'm going, yeah, it tastes like chicken, but these bones don't look like the bones of a chicken.
Yeah. A rabbit dressed is, there's certain parts of it that look very similar
yeah,
to a chicken,
right.
but not completely when you look
yeah.
at the whole rabbit dress.
So let's go to the other signature dishes. What else?
Some of our other signature dishes.
Is this something that, like, one of the things, like, you love to make?
You know, honestly, I love grilling. I love the summertime. I love, you know, when I'm at home and it's a Sunday, I love taking out the grill and firing up some wood charcoal and grilling a steak. You know, and one of the really simple things that we have at the restaurant, which is, you know, a pretty typical dish at various brasseries and bistros, is steak and frites, you know, steak and french fries. And I think the way that we do it is very simple, but it's done right, you know. We do a flat iron cut right now that's marinated in a little bit of red wine and thyme and garlic, and we serve it with these french fries that we toss with parsley and lemon zest and garlic, and they just, it just kind of pops. It makes the potato pop. Absolutely delicious. And we're also serving it with a creamed mustard. So it's kind of like creamed spinach, but we're taking mustard greens and we're creaming the mustard greens with, you know, a cream that has been heavily infused with both regular garlic and roasted garlic. So that's one of my favorite dishes. Every time I'm expediting at work and, you know, sending out the steaks, the steak comes through the window. I just want to eat it. It's just something about grilled meat and potatoes. I don't know. I come from a father that was a meat and potatoes kind of guy. So I guess I follow in his footsteps, you know.
Are you going to be doing something for St. Patty's Day?
We typically don't do anything for St. Patty's Day. We've done stuff in the past, but, you know, we're right in downtown Providence. There's a lot of Irish bars around the corner from us. So, you know, we let those guys, you know, they're the experts with the corned beef and the cabbage and the pasties and whatnot. So we usually kind of stay away from that.
Okay. I was going to ask you a chef question about that, because there's the question of whether if it makes a difference, and you'll probably know in terms of meat, do you think it makes a difference whether somebody goes to the store and gets the corned beef that's, you know, wrapped in the plastic, or corned beef that a company, or they're barreling their own and, you know, and setting it up?
So you're talking about like a corned beef that is already corned? Or
yeah, it's already corned,
fresh,
it's in the plastic, it's, you know, commercialized.
Or a fresh brisket that you would corn yourself.
Well, that the company, in other words, that a store does it themselves. They corn it, they put in barrels, and they corn it themselves. They do it themselves. Do you think it would make much of a difference in terms of taste?
It might. I mean, all depending on where you buy it from. You know, a lot of these, a lot of the corned beef is they're salted very heavily with nitrates to keep the meat to have like a nice pink hue to it,
that should have been a question. Okay.
You know, nitrates in large quantities cannot, you know, they're not the most healthy for somebody, but yeah.
Okay. Actually, after I do this show, I'm actually going to call the place that I got it and ask them, do they use nitrates?
Okay. Yeah, that'd be a good question.
Yeah. So, okay. So let's get back to your food. How about, do you make your desserts too?
Yeah, we have a pastry chef in the house. We make our own. We make all of our own desserts. We make all of our own ice creams and sorbets.
Oh, that's right. I did sample. Yes,
yeah,
I have a thing about when a restaurant makes their own ice creams and sorbet, especially ice cream. I always like to taste it because I always like to, you know, to see how it tastes compared to a store-bought ice cream. You know what I mean? And I don't mean a, you know, something like Breyers, but something on a higher end, you know,
mm-hmm.
That kind of a thing.
So what do you think? Did we measure up?
Oh, it's very good. I like
yeah.
the taste. I did. I like the consistency, and I like the taste. So you passed on that.
Okay.
I have this ice cream that I have a passion for. This company called Graters, Graeters, that makes this ice cream, and it comes out of Ohio, and they're finally putting it in the supermarkets. And you'll understand what I mean. Well, why it is that I'm a chocoholic. But when I deal with chocolate chips, if you're putting in palm oil into the chips, I will taste the palm oil. It will kill
really?
It.
Oh, really? Yeah.
But what I have found out through Ben and Jerry's is they said they have to do that because otherwise the chips will freeze so much it can hurt your teeth.
Right.
So I started trying to figure out why I didn't taste that in graters. And they said to me they don't use palm oil. They use a little bit of soy oil instead to I guess, soften it or whatever it is, you know, to make it so it's not as hard. So you don't taste it. You don't taste the soy oil.
Yeah, whenever we make ice cream at the restaurant, we don't usually use any oils like palm oil or soy oil because our product is not going to be sitting for a while. Like the company that you're talking about, Graters, is probably, you know, some of the ice cream product might sit on the shelf for 2 to 3 months. Our ice cream moves relatively quickly, and we make it in small batches. So we usually just do, you know, like a ganache, kind of almost like a truffle, you know,
right.
Like a chocolate truffle kind of filling. We just kind of chop it up. And that's what we use in our ice cream.
Okay. Let me ask you something about some appetizers. Suppose like if I came in and said, I want to taste that. I don't even want an entree. What appetizers would give me a sense of your restaurant? If I did that.
We have a pretty wide array of appetizers, anywhere from something that would be suitable to sitting at the bar where you could have, you know, a beer with, you know, some calamari or some scallops, or we have something a little more, that would make more sense to sitting in the dining room, like a tart. One of my favorite dishes is a mushroom and leek tart that we do. It's very simple tart that we do with, we use this cheese. It's called Clamage. It's from Shy Brothers out in Mass. And we make a custard with it. We use the cheese with like a little bit of cream and some eggs. And then that's the filling of the tart along with some leeks and some mushrooms, and we serve it with pea greens. And it's just for these winter months when it's a little bit colder, it's a very pleasant, comforting dish to begin your meal with. And then one of our newest salads is a roasted beet salad that we're doing. Beets that have been roasted.
That's what I had, right. Okay.
Yeah, actually, I think we've changed the salad since you've been there. We changed it this past weekend. So the new salad that we're doing is beets that have been cooked in sherry, sliced very thin, laid out on the plate, and then we have feta that's been marinated with olive oil, lemon juice, and herbs, and a little bit of chili. And then we have orange wedges on it, and toasted pine nuts, and a little bit of arugula, like a little bit of a micro arugula.
Mm.
Yeah,
that
very, very
good.
Simple, very earthy, but kind of a light salad to begin with.
When it comes to beets, do each, like the different color beets make a difference? Is it a different flavor or different... not flavor or, you know, sweetness or anything like that, depending on the color?
You know, honestly, I've never noticed. I would say probably red beets are probably the sweetest. I've never really paid attention to, you know, the candy cane, to yellow, to red beets. They're all very... sweet and earthy kind of flavors that go on with those beets. I haven't really noticed much of a different flavor. You know, there's probably some that are a little more subtle that aren't as sweet, you know.
Okay. Let me also ask you a question regarding beets. When you're roasting beets, when you roast it
Yeah.
Do you take the skin off first, or you just roast it and then you continue with it?
We leave the skin on, or I leave the skin on. You know, we'll roast them until they're cooked through and let them cool. And usually you can just peel the beets off either. We'll always put gloves on at work so we don't, get our fingers stained, or we'll use a towel that'll give a little, give to it a little friction, and you can kind of pull the skins off relatively easily, But sometimes just depending on what Mother Nature does, the skins won't be as easy to take off, so you, after cooking, we'll have to use a peeler.
Oh, okay. I was just curious about that. I get fresh beets and I make borscht.
Okay.
And I found I found an easy way. I peel them and then I use water, and I put it in one of those little machines that chops it up really fine. And
okay.
Then I throw it into a pot and cook it.
Hey, why not? Whatever.
And then it cooks, it takes a short time to cook.
Yeah.
That with a little sugar and a dab of sour cream. That's my point.
Yeah, why not?
Right.
Yeah, the simpler, the better sometimes,
Oh, sure. Well, what's the website, by the way?
For the restaurant, it's local121.com. Very, very simple. We have a Facebook page. It shows all of our events that are going on. All of our menus are on there, our lunch, our breakfast, our brunch menu. Our cocktail menus are on there. Also, our wine menu. We have a very extensive wine list that we're very proud of. Our owner, Nancy Miller, is very much into wine, and she does a great job picking out our wine list.
Okay. Well, I enjoyed myself.
And I did as well.
So, and I appreciate you calling in and sharing this info. And when I get back to Rhode Island, I think I'll journey around outside of Providence. And maybe hit some of these little places, these farms and, like that. Yeah,
please don't be shy. And if you look on our website, there's a list of various farms that we work with in a rotating basis. If you ever have any questions, don't be shy. If you want to check out a particular farm, Please contact us or contact myself.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks so much, David.
All right. Thank you, Merle.
All right. Have a great evening.
And you as well.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Man, I'm getting hungry. I'm getting hungry. And should I just take a wet noodle? Should I just take a wet noodle and slap it on me? Because now we're going to talk about more food. Hi. You're on the air. Phyllis?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, but you kind of like sound like you're distant.
Okay. So what's
all
going
right.
on?
Wow.
Beats, I heard.
Well, you know, it was very funny because I've been trying to get Venda Ravioli to call in. And so I didn't know and I guess somebody emailed them and said to call me at such and such time. So I'm expecting to talk to one place, and I get the guy, and I'm going, I got him now. I got to talk to him at least for 15 minutes, So there's more food.
That's fun.
Okay, so let's talk about gay pride in Providence.
Let's talk about it.
What's the situation? I understand. I mean, we can't. There's no. Rhode Island hasn't passed the same-sex marriage.
No, not yet. But we are working on it, and I think it's going to pass.
Yeah. Nor is there a gayborhood.
No.
So,
well, we've got some gay-friendly restaurants. Ours is one of them.
Uh-huh.
There's no specific gay neighborhood, but there's lots of places that we hang out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Including your place, I guess, huh?
Including our place, yes.
So.
Lady side.
Yeah. How did, what made you decide, let's first get into, like, so in terms of, I understand. As a matter of fact, there's a movie that. Yes, they're having the LGBT Expo in Manhattan here.
Yeah,
I think it's this coming weekend.
Okay.
Or was it passed? Wait a minute. No, it. I just looked at the date. It passed. I forgot to go. Oh well. And. So they have a whole thing with the with movies they do.
Okay.
But tell me, what is it? What is the atmosphere about the acceptance?
In the state or
Yeah, in Providence. Like, you know, people walking in the street. Do people care? Does it make a difference? And the big question, does it make a difference because it's a college town? Because that's something that seems to be a thing.
Yeah, I think, you know what? I think the college students really don't care. It's so what? You know, I think from statistically wise, we've got 61% of the population, the voter population, that's been polled for the marriage for equality. And then, you know, there's people that just don't either care or don't get involved. So, you know, I think that it's a pretty gay friendly city. We've been living here 20 years, and we've been very happy here, you know.
For 20 years you had the restaurant?
No, we've had the restaurant for 8 years, but we've been living in Rhode Island for over 20 years.
Oh, okay.
Actually. Yeah.
Is one of you a chef? And?
Yep, I'm the chef, and Chris is the general manager. We're both owners, but I'm the chef, and she's the front of the house.
Ah, okay. So you're the when you came up with what to have there, like, how did you come, what did you think about in terms of the menu?
When I came up with the menu?
Yeah.
Well, I've been cooking for a long time, and we wanted it to be kind of a diverse menu and to replicate our vision of the world. And so if you look at the menu, it's very eclectic. There's all different cultures. There's all different flavors. I've been all around the country and worked with a lot of different chefs and kind of taken a little bit of information from everybody and kind of created my own style with that.
Is there any ethnicities in the food?
Ethnicity?
Yeah, anything,
Absolutely. There's Southern American, there's Caribbean, there's Asian, there's Italian, there's just New England fare. I'm actually working a lot. It's funny, we're talking to Local 121. I'm actually working a lot with the local fishermen and dealing with fresh day-boat seafood from Brown Family Seafood and dealing with, you know, some local farm. I go to the farmer's market and dealing with a lot of, local sustainable produce, and everything is made fresh, and, you know, we try to do beautiful food.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
So, in other words, you've been in Are you like only? Have you just been in Rhode Island for 20? Did you move to Rhode Island? Did the both of you move to Rhode Island, or you like grew up there, or what?
So my wife is a Rhode Islander, native Rhode Islander. I moved here in 1989, and we opened our first restaurant in 99. And we had that for 3 years, and then we sold that, and then we opened the one that we have now, Blaze East Side, in 2005.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of advertising, do you advertise? Do you put it out there that it's a lesbian-owned restaurant?
No, it's kind of like a word of mouth kind of thing. We've built a clientele over the years. It's Friday night is ladies' night, kind of, it's a word of mouth. We're just gay friendly. We have a lot of people that come in that have children, a lot of couples that have, same-sex couples that have children. We have a lot of, males that come in, same-sex male couples. We're open to anybody. Everybody's invited to Blaze.
Oh, no, I'm sure, but I'm just curious as to, for instance, there's Damron, the publication Damron.
Yeah.
We've
never put it out there that it's, a gay restaurant. It's kind of everybody just knows, everybody tells each other. Two women own it, it's gay friendly, et cetera, et cetera.
But some people might, in other words, purposely go because they want to be supportive.
Yes, there are many people that purposely go because they want to support
us.
Absolutely.
Not that the food is not good, but you know what I mean?
Yes, it is.
They could be as supportive as they want. If the food sucks, then that doesn't
help. The food's good, trust me.
I had the pleasure of having a hamburger. That's what I had.
Yeah.
And we
have a lot of, our hamburgers are great, but we have a lot of other interesting food.
Yeah, I think I had the sweet potato fries with it, too.
Oh, yeah, did you like those?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
You're not getting, are you making your own? Are you cutting them up?
Oh, yeah, we make everything.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, that's good, because, the first time I had it, I was like, oh, my God, because I love sweet potatoes. And then I had noticed this pattern, when going to some places that had it, that I'm going, why is it they all taste and look alike? And I didn't know that that you could buy it in the store package.
Yeah, no,
And so now I started, with places that make their own and notice the difference,
Right, yeah.
Unique,
yeah.
So tell me, do you have any particular signature dishes that you like, that you love to cook, just because you want to see the expression on someone's face?
Well, for comfort food, we've got the black pepper steak with blue cheese mashed potatoes. That's like an all-American comfort food. We've got an awesome shrimp scampi. We've got some really delicious Jamaican jerk chicken for people that like something a little bit different and spicy. The catfish jambalaya people go crazy for. I have an extensive vegan and vegetarian options on the menu. I'm trying to do have healthier options, and again, that goes along with the local and sustainable products that we're trying to use.
Right.
So yeah, there's lots of options. Our desserts are all made from scratch by me, and they're all delicious. I use the best chocolates, real butter, no mixes or anything like that.
What bulk chocolate are you using?
We're using Calibo chocolate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Notice
how
I asked. I'm a chocoholic.
Are you a chocoholic? Yeah.
Yes. And
The Lava Love chocolate cake. It's really great.
I finally actually had to stop going to. They have an annual chocolate show in New York.
Yeah.
And I had to stop going to it because I realized, I got to get, as a journalist, I want to get there before the crowds, and I get there in the morning, and I'm going, I can't keep eating all this chocolate. I'm going to freak out, you know. But
right. But
it becomes more and more interesting in the fact that, let's say, you know, like here, we're going from Calibo of something like people in the, if they want to go to the store and buy a chunk of Calibo, which also depends on the grade, you know,
that.
But it now has come to things like the getting chocolate from where it's sourcing from. So in other words, because, you know, you can't go, it's not like you can get some local beans, you know what I mean?
Right.
So people in the countries where the cacao beans are being grown are actually making chocolate.
That's great.
So it's like, look at that, you know. It's interesting to kind of taste that. But anyway, so let's get back to. I'll tell you one thing. I am going to be devouring something for dinner tonight after all this. So what have you found, like, in terms of, there's a gay pride festival, isn't there, every year?
Yes, there is in June.
In June.
Yeah.
And what is, does it, like, do they march anywhere like they do in New York?
There's a big parade downtown. They have, they have a whole day of festivities. I think it's June, usually around June 18th. You you can look online and look up Gay Pride and do you see the date there? Chris is looking up right now. They have all kinds of activities, music, dancing, and then the big thing is the parade. They go through the whole city and, you know, march and sing and dance, and then they do block parties and all kinds of things. So it's a pretty big day. June 15th this year.
Do they make use of that I have to call it the canal.
the fire water, yeah. It's around that downtown area, absolutely.
Oh, okay. So that must really double it up in looks and 'cause it must be festive just with the.
With the water fire, yeah.
Yeah, with the water fire, yeah.
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 Have you ever been to a water fire?
No, actually, what I'm doing is trying to set up to come back not just Providence. I want to come back to Providence because of the water fire and also because I want to see Federal Hill when the piazza is open. But then what I'm going to do is doing like a road tour of Rhode Island other than like Newport or that part, because I've been there, done that. So I want to go to some areas and show, other than Providence, where, what are the little places, off places to go to, places to stay at, that kind of a thing.
I have to tell you that Hope Street is a really quaint little street. There's lots of shops over there, and, it's kind of a little underrated place. All the merchants get together, and we do three or four times a year we do these festivals. So I can keep you up to date when the spring one is coming up, and it would be a fun time for you if you could coordinate coming there and enjoying that and then doing your Federal Hill day, also. It would be kind of cool.
Yeah, that would be good. Do you ever have entertainment in your restaurant?
We're working on it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I just pictured the restaurant in my head, and I thought that it looked like there could have been space for, some entertainment. So we're just kind of wondering.
Yeah, we're trying to do a little, some jazz, small jazz things. Nothing.
Yeah, just
something like a jazz brunch and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, that's
casual.
Yeah.
We're easy.
Yeah.
We're easy. We're not cheap. We're easy.
Yeah. So hopefully, when I get back up there, I'll meet you guys, and I'll
yeah,
you know.
Definitely, it'll be great.
Yeah, that's good, and I appreciate that you know, you're calling in, and yeah, I may end my show earlier than I thought because I'm really getting hungry. So yeah, after a while, you know, it's like, okay. And I went food shopping today. So it's kind of like, oh, my God. And I hate when I do that because, like, I bring this food home, and it's like, now I want to taste everything that I just brought.
Right.
You know how that is, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I'm going, okay, I have to decide what am I going to cook tonight. That's
right.
All I need to do. And by the way, I already, since I had gotten some chocolate ice cream, and I said, all right, now I got to try this. I took a little bit of chocolate ice cream and poured a little of Dave's coffee syrup on it.
Uh-huh.
And mixed it up just to taste it. I went, oh my God. Did you try
his
coffee syrup, Dave's?
Dave's what?
Dave's coffee syrup.
Have I heard of it?
Yeah, have you heard of it?
Yeah, that's a Rhode Island thing, isn't it?
Yeah. I went to that flower show they had and the food wine.
Oh, yeah, I was cooking there.
Yeah, I stopped in there.
Okay.
And I went over to see this thing called, you know, Dave's coffee syrup. That's when I heard about this whole thing of coffee milk.
Right, that's a big violent thing. Oh, totally, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. I noticed the thing about his coffee syrup is that there's no corn syrup in it.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. I don't use that, but I didn't know that there's no corn syrup. So
no.
What do they use?
They use sugar.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, and I,
well,
you know, so what happened is I said, okay, this will be very interesting, you know, and I have to be careful because it's so tasty.
It is tasty.
And the other night I said, and I did buy milk, and I went, all right, and he's got one that he adds Madagascar vanilla in it.
Oh, that sounds yummy.
So I took some water. And I, you know, heated up the water almost to boiling point, and I put in some of that syrup in a mug, a little bit of that syrup in the mug, and poured the water and just mixed that up. And wow, I got, what a great cup of coffee! I'll tell you.
That sounds good.
Anyway, so I'm going experimenting with that, but I'm experimenting with you know, products from Providence.
That's awesome.
What I'm doing.
Great.
So anyway, all right. I appreciate your calling in, and now I can get out this info into Empty Closet.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
And hopefully I'll see you guys.
Yes, please stop in anytime. Like I said, I'll let you know when the spring fair is, and hopefully you can coordinate it with your next trip.
Okay. Have
all
a
right,
great
thank
evening.
You. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye. All
right. Bye-bye. Oh, Kes. All right. I will have to play a song because I have to play a song. I'll tell you what. I'm up for Josh Groban's song right now. This one. I just love this song. Okay, here we go, and